In this episode of Monday Moments, we're talking about Sabbath, so sit back and stay tuned for more. Hey there, welcome to another episode of Monday Moments, the show in which you take a deeper dive into Sunday sermon. My name is Travis, your host. With me today is Pastor James, and we are kicking off our Sabbath celebration 2023. If you're not familiar with what that is or what that means at Freedom Fellowship, we take 40 days every year to talk about Sabbath, and not just talk about it from a historical context or a knowledge context, you know, what was this in the Old Testament, that sort of thing, but really, how does Sabbath, this idea of rest, still matter today? Why is it still important? And really focusing on what matters most. Yeah. And we really believe that that is relationship with God and relationship with other people. And so I'm excited to kind of jump into our conversation today. We kicked off our Sabbath preaching series this past Sunday, or I shouldn't say we, you did. I wasn't part of it. You did.
You helped
out. And so, you know, for anyone who's watching or listening to this, who might be kind of unfamiliar with that term Sabbath, or maybe it's, you know, misunderstood or whatever. Could you maybe give kind of an overview? What is Sabbath? Is that just an Old Testament concept? Is it still relevant to us today? You know, what does the New Testament have to say about it and that sort of thing?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, if you weren't here yesterday, we obviously launched into this, but when you talk about Sabbath, you really have to go back. That word Sabbath, original word, Shabbat, means to rest or to cease from work. And so it has this beautiful imagery of stopping, like the chaos, the everything that's going on. And so when you look at rest, the first time that we see rest, day seven of creation, for 6 days God had been speaking, he'd been creating, he'd be doing all of these things. It gives this image that to rest means to breathe in. Those first 6 days, it was all breathing out. He was speaking the world into existence. He blew his spirit into Adam. Adam comes alive with his spirit. And then on the seventh day, he inhales. He takes that deep breath. And it paints for us this beautiful picture of how God intended for his creation to exist with him, that it would be in this place of his provision. Sin comes, kind of messes up that relationship. Yeah. And then in chapter 16 of Exodus, we see the word Sabbath used for the first time. The people of Israel have been in bondage and in slavery for 400 years in Egypt. They're now living in the desert. God comes and he wants to reestablish this relationship, this provision, and so he says that on the seventh day they would rest, they would Sabbath with him. He goes on Exodus 20, which is where a lot of people know the word Sabbath from. Ten Commandments, God says to keep the Sabbath. Here's the Sabbath, uphold it and keep it holy.
Yeah.
And so we have this image that there's actually something for us in Sabbath. Jesus later on comes and says that he is Lord of the Sabbath. Obviously, we see the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. The Old Testament is a shadow. Jesus comes and he brings it out of a shadow, and he becomes all that the Old Testament was preparing us for. He reestablishes Sabbath as it was originally intended.
Yeah.
We looked at that verse, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's that word again that says that Jesus is actually the source of these things. And so as we looked at that, it paints this beautiful image for us that Sabbath is not just something that the Lord commands us to do, but he says that there's blessing in it, and there's something for us that can only be received if we are willing to stop what we are doing and spend time with him.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I was thinking about as during your message yesterday was in Jewish culture, that number seven is a number of completion. And I think in our culture, and I think not just in Western cultures, but I think in human culture, right? Yeah. Like there's always this desire or this drive or this temptation to say, oh, I can do more. I can push it further. I can, you know, do one more thing, or, you know, earn a little, but whatever the case might be, like to keep going. And yet we see that God said, it's good.
Yeah.
And I'm going to rest, and we're going to stop, you know, we're going to take a moment, take a breath. I love that you kind of brought that in as far as this taking a breath. And saying it's good. Yeah. And I, you know, for myself as a creative, and I know you know this too with some of your woodworking and too, it's like, man, I could just be a little bit more if I just keep going. Yeah, yeah. You know, at some point we've got to say, you know what? It's good enough.
Yeah.
And just let it be, and let it be done. And that's kind of what God did. And yet at the same time, there's this tension in our world today to where we can either choose to say, no, God said it's good, and we're going to trust him in that. Or, no, I'm going to push it a little bit. I can do a little bit more, just a little bit more. And you kind of alluded that as well. If I can, whether it's finances, whether it's, you know, there's a business success, whatever, there's this drive and this desire to say, man, if I can just get on the other side of this, if I can just get here, everything's going to be, you know, good. I can coast, or I can finally relax. I can breathe. And we find that it's just the opposite.
Yeah. And I think that one of the really, here's a critical understanding to this. Rest was created by God.
Yeah.
That means that apart from God, we can never fully experience rest.
Mm, yeah.
And so if we look around the world and we see this constant motion and all of the, you know, these books and stuff that say, hey, you know, just lock it in, do these different things, go about it this way. We talked last week about counterfeits a lot, and how oftentimes the world will try to create a counterfeit for these things. And so we create these things, and we say, oh, I'm going to take this time away, and then I'm going to come back refreshed. The problem is that Jesus points to himself as being the source of rest, the source of experiencing those things. And so it's not enough to just not do things.
Right.
It's about, who are we not doing those things with?
Yeah.
And so there's always this invitation when we are overloaded, when we are overwhelmed, there's this temptation, one, I think, to try to push through, to try to figure out how do I get on the other side of these things. And again, we talked about that. You know, if I can just get through this is just for a season. I'm gonna lock it down right now, I'm gonna get through these things, and then I'm going to be able to actually experience these things. And that is so counter to what Scripture says. The Lord says, he was talking about that in the literal week, and I think it's still applicable. 6 days you shall work, and on this day you shall Sabbath.
Yeah.
And we're very comfortable, myself included at times.
Yeah.
We're very comfortable violating that.
Right.
We just push right through, and we justify it with all these different things, and then we wonder why we're so worn down. And you cannot cheat a spiritual principle.
Right.
And Sabbath was a spiritual principle. The Lord said, do these things. Mm-hmm. And he says, if you don't do these things, you're actually going to, in the Old Testament, it carried the death penalty.
Right.
But really, in much the same way as we looked at, it still carries the death penalty. We're not gonna drag you out of church and stone you in the courtyard.
Yeah.
But we see that this overwork, this inability to rest, it's killing us slowly. Not just physically. It destroys relationships. Mm-hmm. It destroys our relationship to those around us. It destroys our relationship to the Father.
Mentally, spiritually, all
of these different things, and physically.
Yeah.
We're seeing all of these problems come about as doing these things. And yet it's important to remember that the kind of rest that is promised in God's word can only come through our relationship in how we relate to him when those things happen, which means that those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will not experience this kind of rest. This kind of rest comes as a result and as a promise of the relationship that we have with him when we trust him to do it his way.
Right. You know, and I'm reminded in the book of Hebrews, it says, there remains a Sabbath for God's people.
For God's
you know,
people. Correct.
Be careful that you don't miss it.
Yeah,
right?
I'm
paraphrasing, but that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying.
And he talks about as in disobedience of those that came before. And that was Israel's problem.
Exactly.
Is that she continued to violate these things. And so she didn't experience rest.
Yeah.
In fact, there were many times that the Lord sent her into exile because she refused to honor him
in the Sabbath.
The Sabbath.
Yeah.
In the rest. The land would not produce because it was buying back the time that it had not, and all of these different things. And you see, there is a real cost even today.
Yep.
To violating this principle. And yet we find every reason in the world to violate this. But it's a big deal.
It is. And it's just amazing that here we are again, you know, God knows best, right? Yeah. Like you would think that we would get it. So often we miss it. And, you know, you meet with people on a regular basis and just kind of in some of those interactions or just kind of as you observe culture and people around us. What is it that you might say are some of the reasons that we don't keep the Sabbath holy the same way we would say, don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal? You know, what's keeping us from taking it so seriously?
Yeah, I think fear.
Okay.
I think it's, I mentioned a couple things, fear, insecurity. I mentioned our ego, like I can do this on my own. And I think that we do that with a lot of stuff. We carry things and, I don't know that I've ever cognitively thought, Lord, I don't need to bother you with this. I can just do it on my own. But I have subconsciously just figured I can do this on my own.
Yeah.
I don't need this. I think one of the big reasons is that we don't trust God. We don't believe that there's actually a promise that's attached to this that can only come if we follow through with it.
Yeah.
And so because we don't believe his promises, we don't expect to receive his promises. And so the things that we want, if they're not going to be a part of the blessing, then they can only be obtained through hard work. And so we convince ourselves, I just need to do this in order that I can have this. And again, to go back to that one verse, Jesus' words, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Mm-hmm.
There is this picture that the only way to experience rest when I am heavy, when I am dealing with difficult things, when I am carrying heavy burdens, is to actually divert myself from the path that I'm on and turn myself to him.
Yeah.
And something happens, and it is totally counter to our culture.
Yes.
It's counter to, I think even in a lot of ways, it's counter to our own desires.
Yeah.
Because there's this desire that says, I want to be able to say that I was a part of this. And Jesus says, no, if you will come to me, lay down your burdens. take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is light and my burden is easy.
Yeah.
And that's a shift.
Yep.
Because that's not what the world tells us to do.
Exactly.
Work harder.
Push more.
Stay longer. Be better than everybody else. And I think there's some pride in that. I mean, every one of us loves to say, I out-hustled this guy, I outworked this guy. And Jesus says, no, when you're heavy laden, when you're worried, when you're burdened with things, come to me,
right,
and you'll find rest.
Yeah, and I think it requires an intentionality. You know, you were kind of talking about being contrary to our pride and our ego, and I think that's part of our nature, right?
Yeah.
Is it's not going to come naturally to us to rest, to take a break, right? It's going to come more naturally to us to worry, to fret, to work hard, like it depends on us, you know, that kind of a thing.
Well, and because that's what conventional wisdom says.
Sure.
And again, remember the temptation in the garden that got Eve, got Eve's focus off of the Father was this ability to gain conventional wisdom.
Right.
She saw that the fruit was good to make one wise. Mm-hmm. Well, it was wise in the conventional state, in the worldly state, which is what the enemy does. He comes right. and says, look, here is the pathway out of this. Mm-hmm. If you will just work a little bit harder, if you'll just yeah. compromise in this area, you don't have to remain this way. You can yep. just do it once, and then you're going to get on the other side of it. And conventional wisdom says, hey, sometimes you're just going to have to overdo it, and you're going to have to compromise on these things. And then when we experience a little bit of success in that mm-hmm. area, we're like, well, if a little bit is good,
yeah.
then a lot is better.
Right.
And what happened was that we exchange God's wisdom mm-hmm. for man's wisdom.
Right.
And that's why that's why these two wisdoms are often in tremendous conflict with
yeah.
one another.
Where yeah.
God is saying, no, I actually want you to rest mm-hmm. and to do less.
Right.
And the world is saying, no, you actually need to do more. And it's like, well, yeah, if I can apply my more effort to it,
yeah.
then certainly that's going to work.
Sure.
It doesn't make sense to say that I can do more with less.
And I think that's the both the beauty and the challenge of Psalm 23
yeah.
with, you know, he makes me
yeah.
lie down, right?
Like yeah. Sometimes I remember like when my kids were little and you would go in and you're like, you're kind of in a very nice way, like I want to make yeah. sure, but you're like, you're pushing the kid's head down
yes.
a little bit and you're like, it's time to go to sleep. And,
yep.
and inside you're like, I mean, I can almost imagine the Lord's like, if you would just lay down,
please,
you'll yes. feel better. You're like, you'll wake up not so grumpy. And okay. and even Elijah,
it's
you know,
true.
It's like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
he runs out and he's like, Lord, it would be better yeah. if I was dead. And he's like, what?
Here's a Snickers and a nap,
you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm laughing so much because even just last night, this happened, a little bit of a story time, right? So Hattie, you know Hattie, for those yeah. of you who don't know, our youngest Hattie.
Hurricane Hattie.
She's our high energy kid. And so she was having a hard time last night because she was overtired.
Yeah.
But having a hard time nonetheless. So I went and put her to bed to help her, you know, help her go to sleep, help her to calm down. And as she's laying there, like I walk away and we can hear her yelling from her room, sleep is boring. He's just yelling like sleep is boring. Like this is terrible. You know, obviously overtired, yeah. but you know, but it's just so indicative of what we're talking
yeah.
about, right? Like we
yeah.
have to be made to lie down.
Yeah.
And rest.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons I'm really excited about Psalm 23.
Yeah. Cause
it's not just, you know, he makes me lie down. He leads me beside still waters. He sets a table for me in the presence of my enemies.
Yeah.
And I'm like all of these times that I'm thinking if I ever needed to really prove myself in work now,
yeah.
It would be these different things. And so, it's this beautiful, everything that you read in Psalm 23 has it has all of the makings of tranquility and rest, and it gives this impression that this person who the psalmist is speaking of is experiencing anything but rest. Again,
yeah. Yeah.
he makes me lie down. He leads me beside still waters. In other words, I'm never going to find this on my own.
Yeah.
And so he is leading me into these places, and I think that's the beauty of
yeah,
Sabbath.
Yeah. As we kind of wrap up our conversation,
yeah.
You know, if I can use kind of that, in my opinion, overused cliche, the journey of 1,000 miles is started with a single step.
Yeah.
Someone's, you know, maybe going through their life or their current season right now and saying, that's me, whether I'm mentally burned out, emotionally burnt out, physically burnt out, or all of the above.
Yeah.
And they're saying, I need that kind of rest that Jesus offers. How would you encourage them to begin to engage with Sabbath? And not just, again, from the knowledge standpoint, like, I think that's good and it's important, but to really engage with the Lord of the Sabbath, right? Like to know Jesus and to really experience Sabbath today in their hearts.
Yeah. So let me say something really controversial. Turn off your phone.
Boom. There it is. Yeah.
and again, I already know there is 1,000 excuses why, you know, I do this. But
get it?
Yeah. Let me just say it.
Yeah.
The average person touches their phone 2,400 times a day.
Yeah.
You know, in some form or fashion. And all of the people that touch it less would be like, well, I'm not that way. Okay, so you touch it 1,000 times.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it just, there's this constant connection mm-hmm. that is new to to this generation.
Right.
We are so connected. And so it's, I'm just going to send this quick email. I'm going to do, look, the Sabbath was like a 24-hour time period. Mm-hmm.
And it still is today.
If you look at
traditional Jewish families,
it goes off. I mean, it is done.
Internet.
And so even everything. I work on Sundays, obviously.
But
Fridays is really my Sabbath. That's my day. Right. I'm not gonna do these things. And that's been a struggle. Like I've had to say, okay, I'm not gonna take an appointment on Friday. If you call me on Friday, probably not gonna get an answer. Mm-hmm. You're probably not gonna get a text back. You may, but if you do, it's because like it doesn't have to do with work. Like
right.
We're just like, yeah. Hey, where are we gonna go play golf?
Yeah.
You know, hey, do you want to go to the river? And there's a lot of times that people say, hey, what are you doing on Friday? And I'm like, I don't know. Because I don't really make plans on Friday unless it's, hey, I'm gonna make plans with my family to go do something. That day is just really, it is just set aside to, I'm gonna spend extra time with the Lord, and that entire day, I've just got my eyes turned towards Him. I want to spend it in His presence. I want to do that, and so I would tell you, like, be with other believers.
Yeah.
Again, you cannot Sabbath apart from God.
Right.
Because the rest, the refreshment is not a result of the not doing things.
Right.
The not doing things is what allows us the time to spend with the one who is rest.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And so don't misunderstand this. You can't have Sabbath without God.
Right.
You may get to the end of the day and have not done anything, but if you haven't spent time Sabbathing with God, you will not experience, again, it was both a blessing and a command.
Yes.
He said it is both blessed and it is holy.
Yep.
It has all of these benefits, but it is holy because it is given unto me.
Right.
And so when you look at this, what does it look like? Gosh, if we could start with it just being so simple as like, hey, I'm just going to turn off my phone.
Sure.
I'm going to leave it over here. Hey, do I need to make a phone call to a friend or to a family member or something like that? Yeah. I'm not trying to get legalistic about it, but I am saying that there has got to be a willingness on our part that says, I'm just going to put all of these things aside.
Yeah. And I think too, I think we have to decide for ourselves, how important is this? And really, how imperative is Sabbath to myself, my family? And therefore, I am going to be willing to make some hard decisions.
Yeah.
Because if we're all really honest with ourselves, it would be very hard, at least at first, to say, okay, for 24 hours, I'm turning off my phone.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. It's worth it, you know, or to I'm not turning on the TV or the whatever. And one of the things I appreciate the most about your sermon, what our conversation, and also some of the research I've been doing is that it's not about focusing on what you can't do. I mean, you just said that. That's not the point.
Because
if you're constantly thinking about, I can't touch my phone,
that's right.
You're going to want to touch the phone, you know.
And you're burdened.
Exactly.
And that's what Jesus says. Hey, look, if you're saying that not doing work on my phone is a burden.
Mm.
Well, good news.
Yeah.
Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. And so we just take that. And what does that look like in my life? Lord, this is a challenge. Like this, me having my phone, I realize it's a burden in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I feel constantly drawn to it or responding to an email or making a phone call or worrying about the stuff that's not being done. Philippians 4:8, Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind.
Yep.
And so he gives us very specific instructions. On that day of Sabbath, if there are things that are burdening you and worrying you and causing you anxiety, good news, there is a path of where to lay those things down. He says, do those things and peace will come. But he doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
He says, now. whatever things are lovely, whatever things are pure, whatever things are true, whatever things are of a good report. And so it's not just about what I'm laying down, it's about what I'm replacing those things with. And Sabbath is all about that. And again, at the end of that statement comes the promise of peace.
Exactly. Which passes all understanding.
Yeah. Yeah. And he says, and it'll guard your heart and your mind. Your mind is filled with stuff. Your heart is burdened by things. On that day, take those. Begin your day by just taking those things before the Lord. Yeah. And then make it a practice to meditate on those things that he says that we should focus on.
Yeah, it's good. Well, there's a whole lot more that we could talk about. I know that we're going to have a whole lot more in the coming weeks as we kind of really do a very focused look at Psalm 23. So I'm excited about that. We hope that you will join us for all of the weeks as we really look at Psalm 23. What does it mean? How does that relate to our world today? You know, the Good Shepherd, tying it to John 10.
Yeah.
All kinds of things are really awesome. We also have a bunch of events. And I know that sounds like, you know, we're doing things, but again, like we've been saying, we're focusing on doing what matters most. Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot of events coming up. You can find that all on our website, freedomnb.org/Sabbath. We also have a magazine, a little booklet. It's got all kinds of information, some articles to help you engage with Sabbath more over these 40 days. We hope that you will take every advantage offered to you over these next 40 days to apply the truth and the principles of Sabbath to your life and find that rest that Jesus offers and wants to give so freely to you. Thank you so much again for joining us for another episode of Monday Moments, and we will see you next week.